From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. The leaders in the Republican presidential race, Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney, are campaigning across Florida today. NPR's Greg Allen reports that Romney is focusing on Florida's panhandle and getting help from the GOP establishment.
Senator John McCain, Mitt Romney's Republican rival 4 years ago, has joined him on the campaign trail. Today, Romney starts the day in Pensacola with a veterans rally. Yesterday, campaigning in Orlando, he told the audience he enjoyed battling with Gingrich in this week's two debates. He took a jab at Gingrich for complaining in the first debate that the crowd was too quiet, and in the second debate that it was too loud.
It's like Goldilocks, you know, it's the porridge is too hot, porridge is too cold. Look, I'm looking forward to debating Barack Obama. I'm not going to worry about the crowd. I'm going to make sure that we tell the truth to Barack Obama and get him out of the White House.
Romney reached out to Florida's large Puerto Rican population yesterday and secured an important endorsement, that of Puerto Rico Governor Luis Fortuño. Greg Allen, NPR News, Pensacola.
There have been more wrestling to the phone hacking scandal at the now-defunct News of the World tabloid. British police say four people, including a police officer, were arrested today, bringing to 12 the number of arrests stemming from allegations that News of the World journalists paid police in return for information. Speaking at the World Economic Forum at the Swiss resort of Davos, the UN's top human rights official said Libya's transitional government must take control of all prisons to prevent further atrocities against detainees. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reports a call comes just as aid organizations report an increase in torture against detainees in Libya.
The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights says various brigades are holding as many as 8,000 prisoners in 60 detention centers around Libya, and the UN says that many have been subjected to torture, extrajudicial executions, and rape. Particularly worrying, says the UN, are the thousands of sub-Saharan Africans being held. Many Libyans automatically assume they fought for former Libyan dictator Muammar Gaddafi. Aid group Doctors Without Borders suspended its work in the prisons of the Libyan city of Misrata Thursday because it said torture was rampant. When Gaddafi was defeated, provisional Libyan leaders promised there would be no revenge killings, but observers say they have lost control of the situation. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Paris.
Women's tennis is getting a new face at the top. Victoria Azarenka is set to take over the world number one ranking after routing Maria Sharapova in the Australian Open final. Sharapova gave Azarenka a lot of credit during the award ceremony broadcast by ESPN.
As in any sport, you have your good days, you have your tough days, and you have days where, you know, just things don't work out. And today, Victoria was better on so many levels and just played too good. But, you know, as an athlete, to be at the stage, and it all comes down to the last two athletes, and, you know, winner takes it all.
Azarenka is now only the third woman to earn the number one spot after winning her first Grand Slam. This is NPR. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta is expressing concern about a Pakistani doctor who provided key information to the U.S. in advance of the raid on Osama bin Laden's compound last May. In an interview for CBS's 60 Minutes, Panetta acknowledges the doctor's role for the first time. The doctor is being investigated for treason. Panetta also told 60 Minutes that he remains convinced that someone in the Pakistani government must have had some sense that a person of interest was in the compound. Afghan President Hamid Karzai is in Britain. He's due to meet with Prime Minister David Cameron today. The meeting comes a day after France announced that it intends to withdraw its troops a year earlier than the 2014 date agreed upon by NATO. Last week, four French troops were killed by an Afghan army trainee suspected of being a Taliban infiltrator. The war in Iraq officially ended last month, but no major U.S. city has staged a welcome home parade until now. From member station KMUW, Joseph Leahy reports that St. Louis is celebrating the troops this weekend.
Major Rick Radford of the Army National Guard says he hopes Saturday's parade will help bring a sense of national closure to the eight-year war.
I've come home on the first tour, and I didn't get anything like this. And then I came home on the second tour and anything like this. There's so many soldiers that have multiple deployments. And to now to close this war out, people are going to see this all over America.
Two St. Louis residents launched the idea on Facebook last month. Support grew quickly among local veterans groups and city officials who helped organize a weekend of events honoring post-9/11 veterans. The names of all fallen U.S. soldiers since 9/11 will be read aloud at a soldiers' memorial in a ceremony expected to take 12 hours. For NPR News, I'm Joseph Leahy in St. Louis.
This is NPR News.